Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide to the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, May 26, 2023, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, our producer and engineer. Welcome into hour number two. Great to catch up with Brady Ewing again, isn't it?
Yeah, very nice.
Great guy.
As always.
Absolutely. Always got a little bit of a different insight as somebody who actually played Division I college sports here at Wisconsin. Was the captain of the team, a walk-on, guy who really earned his way into a scholarship, and then spent 3 years in the NFL. Always interesting to hear what he has to say. Also going to be interesting, we just got late-breaking word. Coming up this morning, I believe in our first interview since the story appeared in the Wisconsin State Journal this morning, we will have higher education reporter Kimberly Wethall of the Wisconsin State Journal joining us live at the bottom of the hour at 9:30 this morning. Yeah, she was so kind as just to confirm that right now. So she's going to be joining us this morning at 9:30. She wrote a great story. If you haven't seen it yet, pick up your paper copy at a newsstand near you or go online at Wisconsin State Journal. Madison.com is the actual site, Madison.com. Wisconsin State Journal this morning, University of Wisconsin System universities projected to be $60 million, that's 6-0, $60 million in debt by the end of 23-24 school year, according to UW System President Jay Rothman. $60 million in debt. And we've wondered why Jay Rothman, without real cause, without explanation, decided to close the doors at UW-Richland in Richland Center. Now it comes out in the reporting by Kimberly today, and we'll get into it more in this interview we have with her at the bottom of the hour. Jay Rothman essentially putting almost every university school on the table, with the exception, here are the only schools, according to Kimberly Wethall's reporting today in the Wisconsin State Journal, the only schools who don't have a deficit right now. UW-Madison, the flagship campus, they're $2.8 million in the black. UW-La Crosse, $1.1 million in the black. And UW-Stout, $283,000 in the black. Every other university campus in this state is in the red. Including, by the way, UW-Platteville. Platteville is $6.5 million in debt. A structural deficit. Not too hard to figure out now why Platteville decided to close the Richland campus. Because, of course, Richland campus is now a branch of UW-Platteville. I think it's high time to call for a full investigation, a full audit of the UW system and of everybody on the 17th floor of Van Nuys in Madison. That's where the UW system president's office is at. This is ridiculous, folks. And as taxpayers, we're entitled to answers. Kimberly Wethall has done some outstanding reporting. She has some of those answers for you, for us. She will join us at the bottom of the hour. You're not going to want to miss this. A great interview with Kimberly Wethall, higher ed reporter of the Wisconsin State Journal, reporting this great reporting this morning on a $60 million deficit for UW system in today's Wisconsin State Journal. I don't know, Mr. Zomers. We've been saying for a long time, right? We just couldn't figure it out. It's not adding up. And now it turns out that this financial problem is far bigger than UW-Richland.
I am incredibly shocked.
That's your shock face. And for those of you not
watching. And my shocked voice.
Yeah, those not watching on Zoom or Twitter, he's not shocked at all. And as it turns out, UW-Richland is just the tip of the iceberg, right? I mean, trying to blame this on Richland Center and say, well, your enrollment's low, that's a bunch of horse hockey. As we said before, Richland was set up to fail by system, by Platteville. Meanwhile, the good folks in Richland Center, folks on the county board, folks at the campus itself, community support, was doing everything they could to save that campus, including the private foundation in Richland Center, who offered $600,000 of private money, not to raise it. It was already there in the bank, and said they would pay for a dedicated recruiter at UW-Richland. But nope, they wouldn't do it. Richland was set up to fail. We'll talk more about this with Kimberly Withall at the bottom of the hour. Weather forecast, much better news. Much better. If you are traveling today for the holiday weekend, if you're going to be camping or doing any outdoor activities, I don't know that it could be much nicer. A picture-perfect weekend, sun all weekend long, and I mean all weekend long. Temperatures in the 70s to low 80s, depending upon what part of the state you're going to be in. A little bit warmer in Richland Center, maybe a degree or two cooler up in Amory. But absolutely beautiful weather forecast on tap, according to Kara Foster from Weatherology. We will come back, take some look at some news headlines, and then at the bottom of the hour, we have that exclusive interview with Kimberly Withall from Wisconsin State Journal. Stay with us. This is the Town Hall Ball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9:15. Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer engineer on the board this morning. That's a groovy little tune, Mr. Zomers. What do you dial up there?
Take the Money and Run by the Steve Miller Band.
The Steve Miller Band. I love it. Worked with a guy in Richland Center, Steve Miller. Great guy. He used to call him the Beast.
You know, I don't think it's the same Steve Miller.
No, it's not the same Steve Miller. Steve Miller, I worked with, a great guy. Unfortunately, he is no longer with us. He passed away a number of years ago. Great guy. A big guy. He used to call him the Beast. Steve Miller. Really, really a funny dude. Lived a fantastic life. And he used to tell some great stories about women he dated out in California and riding a horse naked on the beaches of Santa Monica.
Wow.
I know. Nobody could tell a story like Steve Miller.
And do you think these stories were true?
They may have been slightly embellished for dramatic effect, but as someone who appreciates a good story, I didn't care.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm sure it was great. Anyway, I'm just curious if he really rode a horse naked.
I think that part was true. I'm not sure for how long, but I think.
So I've ridden a horse before. I would not want to do that naked.
Not naked. No, not at all. We appreciate you all being with us on hour number two. Again, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Kimberly Withall from the Wisconsin State Journal. She is the higher education reporter. Written a great story. Some great reporting here this morning on UW system and the fact that they are now $60 million in debt. Shedding some life. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead, as we say. So, looking forward to talking with her at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget, hour number three, it is Mr. Zomer's board game of the week and also an attitude of gratitude, what we are thankful for, what you are thankful for as well. And also coming up, I believe, in the noon hour today of As Goes Wisconsin, I will be joined the wonderful and talented Kristen Bry and equally wonderful and talented Jane Matinair on As Goes Wisconsin today. Going to be talking some poll questions, I think. And it'll be a lot of fun. Kristen said, are you sure you want to do this after this kidney stone? I said, yeah, what the heck? I got medication now. I got coffee. What's better than hanging out with them on a noonday edition of As Goes Wisconsin? So looking forward to doing that a little bit later on today. What I want to update a couple of things I've been talking about this week. First of all, the debt ceiling crisis continues to move forward. Seems to be some positivity now on both sides, both House Speaker Kevin McCarthy for the Republicans and President Joe Biden for the Democrats, both at least publicly saying that there may be some wiggle or some opportunity to compromise. But not a lot of time left, as we talked about yesterday. After criticizing Joe Biden for representing the United States of America at the G7 summit of the world's largest democracies in Japan, Democrats started grousing, Republicans started grousing. Well, you know, Joe Biden's not here. He's not doing his job. We can't negotiate. He's not serious. He was representing our country on the world stage. He cut short a trip to Australia and Papua New Guinea in order to come back and be a part of the negotiations. And then it came out yesterday that Kevin McCarthy, he's letting all his people, the House, go home. Not to represent the United States of America on the world democracy stage, but to come home and have a barbecue. Telling his caucus and Congress they can go home. It's just a hypocrisy that drives me nuts, right? McCarthy's saying that he'll put his members on a 24-hour return watch. In other words, they can call for a session to come back if the negotiations move forward to an agreement. McCarthy can bring back the House within 24 hours. But holy moly, as a former Capitol staffer for Congress, to try to get your boss a return flight to D.C. on Memorial Day weekend, good luck with that, depending upon what district your boss lives in. Not always a good time. So my guess is there will be some members that stay there if they think that a deal is imminent. In fact, that's something to watch. If you see a lot of the members still in Washington this weekend, I would say it means that a deal is closer than not. And remember, if we don't get a deal on or about June 1st, it's putting the U.S. economy at risk. And I know some of you might get tired of me saying this, but I feel like I need to keep saying it and reminding us, because so many other news outlets and Republicans have this narrative, this is Joe Biden's fault, this is the Democrats' fault. No, it is not. Why is it not? Because we've raised the debt ceiling as a country under both Republican and Democratic presidents, both under Republican and Democratic House and Senates. It is a foregone conclusion. When you pass the budget, that's when you spend the money. It's like putting it on a credit card, as our friend Matt Flynn says. And then you have to pay for that credit card bill by raising the structural deficit. It's just the way it works, right? It's the way that we do it at our kitchen table. If we have a credit card and we put something on it, you have to pay it off. Otherwise, you face consequences. It's the same thing here. So this whole narrative about, oh, Biden wants to spend a bunch of money, it's about cutting spending. No, raising the structural deficit is not about cutting spending. It's simply paying off our credit card bill. But again, as Matt Flynn pointed out yesterday on his show, again, from 3 until 4, Matt Flynn Direct. Great perspective here by Matt yesterday. That Biden is a wily guy. All this talk about we have to go younger and there's something to be said for that, right? But here's what you get with Biden. You get experience like nobody else in Washington. He knows how to negotiate. Rather than talking about it and talking about how he's such a great negotiator like Trump and what he's really not, the really good negotiators are the quiet ones, generally speaking. So Joe Biden is, as Matt Flynn pointed out, has basically said, okay, You want to talk about spending? Let's negotiate the budget now. Because the budget is going to come around in September. And unlike Wisconsin in the state budget, where if the two sides don't come together, if the Republican legislature and Governor Evers don't come together on a state budget by July, what happens is all the state agencies revert back to the previous state budget. So the government doesn't shut down in Wisconsin. It just reverts back to the previous budget, which, of course, can delay new projects and whatever, but it doesn't shut the government down. Washington, D.C. is not like that. If you don't pass a budget, the government shuts down. We've seen it before. So Biden, as Matt Flynn put it out, is basically trying to get a twofer here. Saying, all right, let's talk about spending, but we're not going to do it as part of the structural deficit. we're not touching the structural deficit. You're going to raise that. But as a part of the negotiation on the structural deficit, if you want to talk to me about the budget in the fall, let's do it now. So Biden's very shrewd. He's trying to negotiate the budget at the same time as this raising the structural deficit. Not as the same thing, but doing it simultaneously. Shrewd guy. And Kevin McCarthy is in a much weaker position in terms of he is one vote away from losing the speakership, something he obviously does not want to do. So we'll see how these negotiations go throughout this weekend and whether Biden could get this deal done along with the Republicans. Because the one thing we don't want are, first of all, for people's Social Security payments and veterans payments and other things to be touched. And again, I just think it's cruel and mean for news organizations, particularly on television, to gin this up for ratings and start scaring people. Because, yes, there is a possibility that if Congress doesn't get this done by June 1st, that Social Security payments and other things could be affected. But let's not scare people out there on their own who rely, we're living paycheck to paycheck before we know what's really going to happen. So we don't want bad things to come to our seniors and veterans, at least I don't. And number two, as we've talked about, if the U.S. defaults and the deal doesn't get done on or about June 1st, we risk our credit rating around the world. And that destabilizes the entire global democracy. That's how much of a leader the United States is. We can talk about the problems we have in our country, and obviously there are quite a few. But for all the good, bad, and indifferent, the United States is still seen as a world leader. Our currency, the dollar, is still used to trade on the international scale. If that dollar destabilizes by us defaulting on our debt ceiling, what that opens up the door is for other economies like the Chinese yen to try to come in and replace the dollar. That's how serious this stuff is. And yet the Republicans want to play games because they're trying to make Biden look bad. There are some like Marjorie Taylor Greene and others in the Republican Party who would rather tank the economy, have their friends and neighbors be hurt financially, have the country be hurt financially, have our place in America, our democracy around the world be hurt, all to score political points and hurt Joe Biden for the 2024 presidential election. I think it's just sick. But we shall see. Going to be very interesting to watch this weekend. Quickly before the break, did you see this? The former Oath Keepers, head of the Oath Keepers yesterday in federal trial, got sentenced 18 years plus in federal prison. The judge this guy just could not help himself, saying he was a political victim, a political prisoner, when he spoke to the judge during his sentencing. Judge said, you are not. Absolutely not a political prisoner. The judge threw the book at him.
He really did.
Yeah. And this guy is going to be in prison for 18 years plus. Judge made a point in the sentencing of this guy, Roth, well, let me get his name here, that this guy was just dangerous and doesn't show any regret. Stuart Rhodes is the guy, the founder of the Promise Keepers, or rather the Oath Keepers. Stay with us. Well, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Kimberly Wethall of the Wisconsin State Journal about UW System and a $60 million deficit. Don't go anywhere. Not going to want to miss it. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9:33 on May 26, 2023. Glad to have you along with us. Mr. Aaron Zimmer is our producer and engineer. And we welcome in a very special guest, and we appreciate her joining us on short notice this morning. She is Kimberly Wethall, and she is the higher education reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal here based in Madison. But, of course, the paper goes around the state and around the world on the digital format. Kimberly, thank you very much for joining us on short notice this morning.
Absolutely, not a problem.
Well, it's a pleasure. What prompted this was late yesterday afternoon. A friend of mine, I hadn't even seen it yet, and she said, "You've got to see this story in the State Journal on the UW system." Headline: UW system universities projected to be $60 million in debt by the end of 2023-24. President says. President meeting President Jay Rothman. And I read this, and I'm like, see, this is the kind of reporting that we need more of, because so many people don't have the time or take the time to find out the story behind the story. And Kimberly, I read this, I'm like, my gosh, it would be great to have her on, and you're so kind to do it. We'll get into the story in a moment, but for our listeners in Richland Center, Wausau, Amory, and those listening around the state by our stream feed. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Kimberly. How long have you been at the State Journal, and what's your background?
Yeah, so I have been at the State Journal exactly 8 months today. Wow. And so I've been reporting on the UW system for that long, but I have been a part of the UW system for a lot longer. I graduated from UW-Whitewater in 2018. So I reported, as a student journalist on the UW system from 2014 to 2018, and then took a break, but was always kind of checked in. So, because I care, about the UW system and my alma mater, but it was in education reporting, and now I'm in higher education reporting.
That's fantastic. I, of course, went to the rival school, UW Platteville, back in the day, and wrote a little bit for The Exponent, our student newspaper there at the time, but spent more time at WSUP, the student radio station there in news and sports. I think it's just great when someone who's come through the UW system and in the journalism programs ends up working in journalism in Wisconsin, because it adds another layer of familiarity. Nothing wrong with people coming in from other places, but I think when you have a reporter that didn't grow up here, it just naturally takes that person longer to get up to speed. Someone like you, you've literally lived it, and I think it gives this extra insight, and I really appreciate that about your reporting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this story, how did you come to it? What made you kind of dig into this, and kind of how did you come to write this story about it appears today in the Wisconsin State Journal again on the UW system and a $60 million debt?
Yeah, so the UW system is the one who actually provided us these numbers. Mm-hmm. I was talking with another higher ed reporter who said that they have never really kind of given these sort of numbers before. And so I think you can maybe infer that is happening is we're currently in the middle of budget season, right? The Joint Finance Committee is working on budget. And we were able to see a few days ago what the Joint Finance Committee gave the tech school boards. And the tech school boards had asked for $75 million and got $9 million. Mm-hmm. And I think, if you are the UW system, you're looking at that and saying, okay, that is a fraction of what they asked for. That's a fraction of what Governor Evers proposed. So what they're doing is, I think you could maybe make the inference that they're going a little bit on the offense, right? Where they're saying, okay, You know, this is where our budget currently stands. You know, they've asked for about $435 million. Evers suggested, or he proposed a little over $300 million, which left them a little bit short. And so I think, you know, if you're Jay Rothman, if you're members of the UW administration, you're saying, okay, if we want to, you know, get more money, maybe it's time to bring this to the court of public opinion, right? Maybe it's time to release some of these numbers. And I want to know that these are also projected deficits, right? Because, you know, the UW system, just like most, you know, educational systems, just like the K-12 systems, they cannot have an unbalanced budget.
Correct.
That's just simply they cannot. So these projected deficits are based on current spending. So you know, what some of these projections look like, they kind of range between 2.9 and 6 million. And Milwaukee is kind of an outlier where they're projected based on current spending to have a deficit of 18 million or almost 19 million at the end, by summer 2024. You know, should the UW system not get more money, they're going to have to make decisions. But I think they're looking at what is happening with the budget process and saying, okay, well, let's bring this to the people to see if they can drum up additional support.
I think that's a really interesting tactic. And as someone who from Richland Center, who is an alum of both UW Richland and UW Platteville, which of course Richland is now part of Platteville again, this really irritates me. And the reason is that when the Richland campus closure was announced by Rothman, President Rothman, back last fall during the Thanksgiving holiday, he simply said, well, it's because of enrollment. They're down to 60 students right now, which is true. It was over 500 as recently as 2014, 2015. In that time, System and Platteville together took away the dedicated recruiter at Richland Center. The local foundation, who has like $4 to $5 million cash on hand, they offered $600,000 of private money and said, we'll do it. We just want to hire our own recruiter. And Platteville said no. They didn't replace the dean. They didn't have a full-time dean. They didn't rehire faculty. My opinion, and many others, is that Richland was set up for failure. So it wasn't that suddenly they woke up and said, well, nothing's changed and they've lost all these kids, only down to 60. It was the circumstances that UW Platteville and System, in my opinion, allowed to happen that set them up. And we've been asking both System and State Senator Howard Markline, who represents Richland Center, who's the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, and Tony Kurtz, the assembly person, also represents Richland Center on the Finance Committee, for answers. And they've been reticent to give them. And so now it comes out, and that now they're coming to you, Kelly, and giving you this information. In your story today in the Wisconsin State Journal, only these three schools have budgets in the black. UW-Madison, $2.8 million in the black. UW-La Crosse, $1.1 million in the black. And UW-Stout, $283,000 in the black. As you point out, everybody else is in the red, including Platteville, which is $6.5 million in the hole, in the red. As a reporter, Kelly, I'm not asking you to, you know, I know you're a reporter, you're reticent to give opinion, but just strictly looking at the numbers, it appears that Platteville has a lot bigger problem than Richland Center's enrollment.
Yes. And so if there is a projection document included in a Board of Regents meeting a few months ago, where, you know, most of the schools that you see with projected deficits here or projected shortfalls were all going down. They're eating up their reserves faster than what is sustainable, you know, as Rothman said yesterday. But Platteville was the one that was mentioned where it said, you know, Platteville is going to need a fiscal viability plan to repair some of the damage that has occurred in the last few years. And a lot of that comes from declining enrollment. Platteville has lost about, and we're talking just the main campus,
right?
Has lost about a quarter of its students in the last few years.
A quarter of its students at Platteville.
And so when you have lagging state support, you know, tuition dollars mean a lot more and they make up a lot larger percentage of your budget if state funding is going down. And so then when you lose students, for whatever reason, it hits your budget harder. So yeah, Platteville has, you know, a projected $6.5 million deficit. They're going to need to undergo a fiscal viability plan. And putting this into context for people, you know, Cardinal Stritch on the east side of the state announced that it was closing after 85 years, mm-hmm. Earlier this spring. My friend Kelly Meyerhofer at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel mm-hmm. has done a fantastic job reporting on it. Mm-hmm. But something to note there is that deficit that Cardinal Stritch had is about $6 million that wow. they had projected. And it was something that they saw as leadership was something they could not come back from. So, you know, putting all of this into context, we're seeing lots of different universities close their doors, not just in Wisconsin, but around the Midwest that are a little bit smaller because they're undergoing the same thing that UW system is, where they've seen declining enrollment. For whatever reason, you could blame it on a few different things, you know, fewer high school students, you know, graduating in the state of Wisconsin, or fewer men who are going to college. So it's a myriad of different things you can point to, but the reality is for Platteville and for a lot of other places in the state, you know, they are hurting because enrollment is declining.
Here's what irks me, Kelly, and you tell me if I'm going down the wrong path here, because you've done a lot of intense reporting on higher education as a whole. I appreciate that we have fewer high school students graduating in Wisconsin, just kind of a population decline overall, and those age people eligible to go to college. I understand with technology and also the pandemic had an effect that there are changing dynamics in how we do higher education across Wisconsin, across the country. What irks me is that when, in particular, Republicans point to things like, oh, enrollment is down, but they don't go to talk about things. In our reporting last fall, we had former Chancellor Kathy Sandeen, who was the last chancellor of the colleges and extension at UW system before the merger. She said she is now out in California, president of a college out there. She said on our program that she had put together a comprehensive study on all the 2-year campuses across the state and had acknowledged and figured out how to tweak their mission to fit today's standards, and also had hired a firm in Madison or Milwaukee to put together a whole marketing campaign called UW Here. And at the time, then President Ray Cross shut it down, wouldn't even allow it to go to the Board of Regents. Then over in the legislature, you have Republicans who all they seem to want to do is cut, cut, cut. Who is working to actually fix the real problems here, Kelly? Because all I see are people sticking their head in the sand and not wanting to fund anything. And then they sit around going, well, it's all about enrollment. Well, it's being set up, in my opinion. Am I wrong? And tell me if I am.
I wouldn't say that you are necessarily wrong. I guess I'm not sure how to answer that question, other than saying, I think your assessment you know, could be correct. I do think Republicans are looking at, you know, just being fiscally responsible. And I think what it comes down to is politics is always about getting to the same result. And the same result is, how do we create a better state? And people differ on how to get there. And that's what I always tell myself, is that's the difference between Democrats and Republicans, is that, you know, when they're making budget decisions, it's all about making the state better. But, you know, how you get there is different. So don't want to necessarily comment too much about
it. I get it. I don't mean to put you in an awkward position. Right. I get it.
That's a different beat.
we'll leave the opinion to Scott Milford, our good friend there.
Perfect. Yeah, please, Scott. That sounds great.
But you know this stuff. And Kelly Meyerhofer, your colleague over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, both of you folks have done a remarkable job. And what I really try to make sure that our listeners get to is to strip away you know, I'm not saying that I'm always right. I truly want people to get to the truth and just say, what are the actual facts? And it looks like when you look at the taxpayer money that's being spent per individual in Wisconsin continues to go down. It seems to me, Kelly, we're headed towards being the state of Mississippi when it comes to not just higher ed, but K-12 as well. We got to take a break. Can you stay with us for another 5-minute segment here?
Absolutely.
All right. More with Kimberly Wethel on the other side of the break. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For the hell of it, addicted to betrayal, but you're relevant. You're terrified to look down. Cause if you dare, you see the glare of everyone you burn just to get there. It's coming back around. And I keep my side of the street clean.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 9:50 on the Civic Media Radio Network. 10 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock, we are joined by Kimberly. That's her name, Kimberly Wethel from the Wisconsin State Journal. Ends up, not only is she a higher ed reporter, she's a Swiftie as well. So, yeah, you ever seen Taylor Swift in concert?
No, and unfortunately, when she's coming to the Midwest in a few weeks, I am unfortunately working a wedding. So I will be living vicariously through all of my friends,
I've
literally every single one who are at the Taylor Swift concert, and I will be working a 12-hour day photographing away.
So. I've heard it's an amazing concert, her Vegas show and stuff. She did it like a 3.5-hour concert in the rain like a few weeks ago.
She did. And people are now selling rainwater from her concert. So
No way.
That's how much people love Taylor Swift.
Rainwater from Taylor Swift's concert. Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do next?
Yep. It hasn't even hit her. It's just being collected in the stands. Yep.
Hey, she is a gifted artist. I'm not going to, I mean, she is a superly talented person. That's for sure. As are you, Kimberly. And I apologize for messing up your name. Yes, I'm still on meds from my ER visit last night. So I'll blame it on that and my old age. But it's great to have a young reporter, Kimberly Wethel from Wisconsin State Journal, the higher ed reporter. We are talking about her great story in today's edition of the Wisconsin State Journal. Pick it up in paper form at a newsstand near you or go online at Madison.com and subscribe while you're there. Have great deals right now. I think it's like $1 for 6 months right now if you sign up online. And this is why we need local reporting. This is why we need great newspaper reporters like you, Kimberly, because without folks like you, we don't get stories like this. So I would encourage everybody to go on and subscribe to Wisconsin State Journal. You can read great stories like you. And as we said, our longtime friend and former Richland Center, Richland County native Scott Milford, doing a great job with the editorial section as well. In this story, the big headline, of course, that the system, UW system, is going to, has now got a $60 million deficit coming up by the end of the 23-24 year. Only three universities, Madison, La Crosse, and Stout, are in the black. Everybody else is in the red, including Platteville, which is $6.5 million in the red. I want to focus our attention a little bit, Kimberly, to the actual funding of students. And according to your reporting, Wisconsin currently ranks in the bottom 20% nationwide for funding for its public four-year universities. A report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum last month said the system falls below the national average for four-year university funding with $15,079 per student in comparison to the U.S. average of $17,733. What's your take on that, Kimberly? In your reporting, have you heard system or folks at the Capitol talking about this investment we're making per student, or are they just simply looking at the large numbers?
Yeah, so I also think, you know, I talked a few minutes ago about how, you know, the UW system is going on the offensive, you know, during budget season. And I think part of what's driving it too is these numbers. So the Wisconsin Policy Forum's numbers are actually based on the same numbers that came out earlier this week. But they were a year older. So there's a little bit of discrepancy in the numbers, which is why you saw me write, you know, 20%, the bottom 20% instead of specifying specifically between 42nd and 43rd. So, you know, our reporting from a month ago showed that, you know, funding for the UW system ranked 43rd. And another thing that they, that the UW system brought up was that there is more funding per full-time student on average for the tech colleges versus the four-year public universities. And I will say that there is a caveat to that, right? You know, I spoke with the tech school system. And so, you know, these numbers that average out, right? The majority of students in the tech school system are not full-time students, but that is how they, like, that's how they average it out. So if you were to look probably at the real numbers, it would be closer than what it looks like. Simply because they were just taking full-time numbers, and dividing it, dividing the funding by that to get the number that they got. Both SHEO and the Wisconsin Policy Forum were doing that. So that's the one caveat people should keep in mind. But it's still, you know, it's still significant to see how much is being spent on each one. So, but that was definitely a catalyst to, you know, Rothman and the rest of the UW system putting out the numbers that they did yesterday about the projected deficits. And, you know, yeah, kind of going on the offensive.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Kimberly, but I believe UW system in their budget is seeking something like a 20% increase in salaries for staff. Is that right? Or somewhere along that line?
It would not be a 20% increase in salaries for staff. But part of what they are seeking is for the state to pick up more of the benefits package. So that's what they're looking to have the state fund. And that's where those numbers kind of come in. And so if that's not what they receive, the majority of the tuition increase that the Board of Regents approved will go towards funding, you know, employee pay and benefits. So, you know, when people hear that, you know, there's going to be a 5% undergraduate in-state tuition increase, people think, oh, yeah, that's a large increase and a lot of money. You know, UW system has cautioned that that is not going to help them much in balancing their budget.
What I just find ironic is when we're looking at raising tuition on students, and then in any way, shape, or form, when you look at some of the salaries that people are making on the 17th floor of Van Nuys up in the president's office, I mean, these people are over $200,000 a year in taxpayer funding, taxpayer salaries. And it would seem to me that they can absorb, you know, a little increase in their health insurance if they're paying 60, 70 bucks a month on that. I know you can't. I know that's an opinion. That's just, I'm just throwing that out there. That's the irony to me. Let me ask you this. We only got about a minute and a half left. Has there been any talk by the Republicans, and as a former Republican who left the party back in 2011, but has there been any talk about auditing the entire UW system in light of these numbers? Because it seems like transparency, where this money went to, is lacking.
I have not. You know, I've reached out to, Robin Voss's team and Devin LeMahieu's team for comment yesterday and have not heard back. But, you know, as you know, the part of the reason why UW system got the $250 million cut that it did back in 2015 was because an audit showed that the UW system had a large amount of reserves, and it was something larger than what the legislature thought that UW system should have. And so that has definitely happened before. I have not heard about that happening now. But something else we've heard about with funding
Got to run, Kelly. Sorry, we're up against a hard break. Kimberly, I really appreciate it. Kimberly Wethel from Wisconsin State Journal. Thank you so much. Have a great day.